I'm very obedient to my wife. She told me, don't walk up this way, go around that way. So just to show you, I'm very obedient to my wife. She probably knows better, and so I obey what she says to do. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Let me say that I considered this a serious matter for me. I'm 88 years of age plus, and as I was thinking about it this week, I thought this could be the last message that I'll ever preach. When you're 88 years of age, you don't look very far to the front. Everything you look at is back behind you now. Very little to the front. And so it possibly is my last sermon that I'll be preaching. And I thought about it and I wondered, now just what should I preach if it is the last message that I would preach? And so what I assume is that everyone here, so far as I know, is a child of God. You're saved. But there may be somebody here today that's not saved. And if so, I want you to understand that I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching to those of you that are saved today. You already know what I'm talking about. You've experienced it. But if there should be somebody here today that's not saved, you're the message that I'm preaching to. You're the one I want to hear. And you pray that the Lord, if you're not saved and you understand and know it, you pray that the Lord will open up your heart and your eyes and your understanding so that as the gospel is preached, that you might hear it, receive it, and be saved. Our Father, we pray as we go into the message this morning, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit may open up our hearts and our minds, and that we might be able to understand the truths that You have in Your Word. And especially we pray if there should be one here today unsaved, that Thy Holy Spirit might bring conviction into their heart, and that they might realize their need of salvation, and that this will be the day that they turn in repentance and faith and trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 22. And I have a little trouble reading sometimes. I should pull another Bible. My Bible study Bible is at home. This is my Bible I've been using for years. And it's sort of hard to read because it's a smaller print. But I'm going to try to read it this morning, and you can just follow along with me. Matthew chapter 22, and I want to begin reading with verse 34 of this chapter. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? And they say unto Him, The son of David. Now this question raises a question today. Just who is the most and what is the most antique character of all history? And when we come to a knowledge of this, we understand that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this question that we ask is the most unique, to raise a question of the most unique character of all history. The Lord stands alone. He has no equal. There are none that are like him. In fact, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, it refers to Solomon, who was considered to be the wisest man in history. And it says that a greater than Solomon is here. Now, why is Jesus Christ the most unique history in all history? And that's what I want to look at today. The first thing I would say is that no man was ever born like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you and I were born, that's when we began. We began to be at our birth. But Jesus Christ, he was born, and yet he lived prior to his birth. So that his birth was only an incident in his life. For he has always lived. I think we all understand and know that. Jesus Christ is eternal. He was God manifest in the flesh. 2,000 years ago, he stepped down from his throne and took upon himself the form of a babe. Was born there in Bethlehem. And since that time, we have known him as God's only begotten Son. And for just a little over 30 years, he lived in the flesh here upon the earth. And then after that, he returned to glory, that he left and returned back to his own where he was and where he is today. Turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Now I'm going to use some scriptures, so you may want to turn with me. Philippians chapter 2. I want to read verses 10 and 11. I probably should have brought my other Bible. This one is just about torn up now. I've used it since, I was ordained back in 1949. And I believe that this Bible was given to me at the time I was ordained. So it has sort of a sympathetic appeal to me because of its age and to have it since I was ordained to the ministry. But anyway, in Philippians chapter 2, I want to read two verses, beginning in verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see that Jesus Christ has a unique birth, and that he was born of God. He was also born of a virgin. He had no human father. He had no human father as you and I have. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And he recognized no one but God as his father. So he was actually unique in his birth. The only one ever like it upon the whole earth was the Lord Jesus Christ, in that he was God's only begotten Son. The second thing is that no man ever lived like the Lord Jesus Christ. You search his life and you find, according to the scriptures here, that his was a sinless life. You and I, we yield to temptations, but never once did he yield to temptation. In fact, he challenged his enemies to accuse him of sin. And none were ever able to accuse him of sin or of any wrong whatsoever. How different that is from you and from me. We never would challenge anybody to say, look at my life and see what I'm like. Because if you're like me, there are sometimes things in your life that you just prefer they not look at. That you just prefer that you remain secretly about them. You don't want them to be aware of these things. But this was not true of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he lived a sinless life and never did yield to temptation even one time. And by this, he challenged his enemies that they were to accuse him of sin. And how different that is from your life and from my life. Not only that, but he was different in that he lived knowing the end from the beginning. He predicted his suffering. He predicted his death. He predicted his resurrection. And in doing such, he did it even to the very smallest of details. Now you and I, we might predict some things, but we use great big wide expansion to cover everything just in case we overlook something. With him, he was completely challenged and completely subverted every one of their challenges. How different from your life and from my life. Because he lived not only knowing the end, but he knew the beginning as well. In fact, he predicted his own suffering, his death, his resurrection, even down to the very smallest of details. Nor did he ever make an effort to escape, even though he knew exactly what was going to happen. And how different is that from you and me? For the first thing we say, you and I do not know the future. And yet he did. If we did know the future, we'd do everything possible in order to avoid certain things and to avoid our death. But not Jesus. In fact, with his face set firmly, he marched directly to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ then can see in the future, but you and I cannot see the future. Do you know when or how you will die? Do you know where you will be when you draw your last breath? Reminds me of two men talking. One of them says, I wish I knew exactly where I was going to die. He said, why? Because he said, I'd never go there. So I guess that's true. But Jesus knew exactly not only where he was going to die, but he knew exactly when he was going to die. And you and I, we do not know when or where we will draw our last breath. But Jesus, knowing all of that, and in that knowledge, he went alone directly to the cross. And he became then the most unique character in all history because he not only knew when he was going to die and where he was going to die, but he set himself directly to go to that very place where he was to die. Not only that now, but we see that he demonstrated his power over nature. If you'll turn with me to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. I got to hold up my Bible. I can't read very well. And there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat upon the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So we see he has power over nature. He was able to control the wind and the sea. And then if you'll go to the next chapter in Mark chapter 5, we'll not take time to read those first 20 verses, but he talks about he had power over the demons of hell. And when a mad demon-possessed maniac came rushing to him, he spoke, and when he did, some 2,000 demons obeyed his voice of command. You'll notice he said in verse 13, and this chapter 5, And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. The herd then ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and it says here now they were about 2,000. So Jesus Christ had power over the demons as well. And he forced them to go into the sea. So we see that he had power over sickness. He healed lepers by his touch. Fevers left when he spoke. The blind saw, the deaf heard, and the lame walked. In fact, he was in control of all diseases. He demonstrated his power over death. Three times he raised the dead to life again. Three times, including Lazarus, after Lazarus had been dead some 4 days. So we see that he had control over four realms: nature, demons, disease, and death. He included everything, and it showed that he was supreme over all things. No man is, hence no one is as unique as he is in all of history. Again, no man ever taught like the Lord Jesus Christ. He quoted Moses, the great lawgiver. And during the last week in Jerusalem, many tried to trap him. The Herodians, then the Sadducees, and finally the Pharisees, they attempted to do so. You turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. And Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 15. He says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And after they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teacheth the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man." And then drop down to verse 22. "And when they heard those words, they marveled and left him and went their way." Now, even though they had questions, they found that he was had all questions answered by himself. That they answered him, they asked him questions and had no answer, but he gave the answer. And he always had the right answer. Now, what man could answer as he did? You go into a court and a lawyer can confuse a witness on the witness stand. But no man could possibly face such a test as Jesus did, but he did every one and he won. And where they failed to catch him, he himself just turned the question upon them and all of them were silenced. For you turn to Matthew chapter 22 and begin reading in verse 15, and he says, "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what he said? And he saith unto them, Yea, and have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany and to lodge there." So here was a Jewish carpenter meeting with the religious leaders, and he opposed the great religious leaders of that day and time, showing his power over all of them. And the scripture says in Matthew chapter 12 verse 42, "A greater than Solomon is here." And as we know, Solomon was considered to be the wisest and greatest brain of all Old Testament history. Now, why is he the most unique character in history? Well, can you see the future? Do you know when or how you will die? Do you know where you will be when you draw your last breath? Those are talking one day, and they were talking about the fact of where they were going to die. And one says that if I knew where I was going to die, I'd never go there. And that's probably the truth with us. But Jesus knew exactly where he was going to die and how he was going to die. And in that knowledge that he alone possessed, he was the most unique character in all history. Another point is that no one ever worked like the Lord Jesus Christ. When you turn to Mark chapter 4, we see that he's demonstrated his power over nature. In Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. "And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And so we see that he has power over the seas and the water as well. Not only that, did no one ever heal diseases as he did. He demonstrated his power over sickness. He healed the lepers by his touch. Fevers left when he spoke. The blind saw, the deaf heard, and the lame walked. He was in control of disease. He demonstrated his power over death. Three times he raised the dead to life again. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And so we see the four realms that he had: nature, demons, disease, and death included everything. He was supreme over all. No man is hence. He was the most unique character in all history. Not only that now, but we see that no one ever taught like the Lord Jesus. He quoted Moses, the great lawgiver. And during the last week in Jerusalem, many tried to trap him. The Herodians, then the Sadducees, and finally the Pharisees. All of them failed. Each had a question they thought was unanswerable, but he always had the right answer. What man could answer as he did? In any court, a lawyer can confuse the witness. No man could possibly face such a test, but he did, and he won. Where they failed to catch him, he himself just asked one question, and all of them were silenced. In Matthew chapter 22, we find where he asked them the question and they failed to give the answer. Matthew chapter 22 verse 15 says, "They then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they went out unto him, that disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought it unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They said to him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Think of this. Here was a Jewish carpenter who opposed the greatest religious leaders of that day, answering all of their questions and then putting them to rout. What manner of man is this? A mere man, as some would say, impossible. Now then we see how he died. How did Jesus Christ die? Well, he did not have to die. He voluntarily dismissed his spirit. No one has ever died at will. You cannot. I cannot. No one can. Just try it. Just try holding your breath and say, I'm going to die. And the first thing you know, you're taking a breath, whether you want to take one or not. You cannot simply die because you want to and saying, I'm going to kill myself by not breathing. You cannot. Now, you can kill yourself by a pistol or some other means or way, but you can only do it that way. You cannot simply just will your death. Only Jesus was able to do that. When the time came upon the cross and it was finished, he says, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. He just simply willed himself to death. Last of all, he died not for himself, but he died for others. You see, his death affected all mankind. Everyone that's here in this auditorium this morning, you are affected by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he died as your substitute. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. Let me just turn over there. I can't remember it verbally. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, the death of Jesus Christ affected all mankind. He died as man's substitute. He died that we might live. Now, God can deal with man in grace, for the barrier of sin has been removed. And when we think of the death of Jesus Christ, we see that no other man ever died like that. There have been some religious leaders, Moses, Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad, but these were all men, but they died just like all others died. And their death has no effect on anyone else. But the death of Jesus Christ provided salvation for the human race, and all man needs to do is to accept it. Salvation is made available to everyone by repentance and faith as one turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, receives Him as their personal Lord and Savior, because when He died upon the cross of Calvary, He paid the penalty for our sin. So the death of Jesus Christ provided salvation for the human race, and all man needs do is to accept it. But moreover, he did not only die, but he rose again. He did not die and remain dead. He rose from the dead. And the leaders of the earth's religions have died, and they're all still dead. And they cannot save because they did not resurrect themselves from the grave. But Jesus died and rose again forevermore. And as we think of the history and mystery of Jesus' death, we realize that He died because He chose to die in order that man might have a substitute for salvation. If there be anyone here today, and I'm not able to view your heart, and I don't know whether you're saved or lost, but if you're unsaved, Jesus died in order that you might be saved. And all you need to do is to trust Jesus Christ, receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Our Father, as we close this service up this morning, You know the heart of everyone here today. You know who's saved. You know who's lost. You know who needs to be saved. And we pray, Father, that Thy Holy Spirit may have taken the words that were spoken today, make them real to their heart. May they realize that their salvation is dependent upon Jesus Christ, and that His death and burial and resurrection was for them. And if they will turn in repentance and faith and trust Him as Lord and Savior, that they can be saved even today. In Jesus' name we ask it.